Hey, backstage. So, I love questionnaires. And I'm weird and random, so I came up with my own and I figured I'd go first. This is my own questionnaire. Number one, what's something weirdly specific that you're good at? So, I, for many years previously, worked in a job where I came into, like, I saw a lot of names, like a whole bunch of names, and birth certificates and, like, forms with people put names on and things like that. And we did have customer facing, so I would have to pronounce these names. And so I became very, very good at being able to pronounce names. And I know that seems weird, but some of the shit people name their children, it is a skill. And I'm not in that job anymore, but even the job I'm in now, I'll occasionally, my coworkers will be like, "Hey, Sella, how the fuck do you pronounce this?" I'm like, "Oh, it's blah, blah, blah." Because I'm very good. I'm very good at that. And it doesn't really, I mean, it served me well when I was in, like, customer facing and I was talking to people and having to call them by their names and things, but I don't really do that anymore. It's just a party trick now. But that's something I'm weirdly specific that I'm good at. Number two, what's the scariest thing about you? So I have a very particular set of skills. It's nothing physical. I'm not like, Jason Bourne or anything crazy like that. I'm not Liam Neeson. But I'm very good at finding people and finding things out about people. Which, is very good for my job. I'm an investigator, so it works out well. That's why I'm so good at my job. But even other investigators will call me about, a mutual case that we're working or something, and they're looking for one detail, and I have a whole fucking dossier on the person, and they're like, "You're fucking terrifying. Like, please don't ever. Please, I don't ever want to get on your bad side. You're fucking scary." And I love that. It's a, like, I take it as a compliment. I love it. I love being called scary and terrifying. I'm very good at tracking people down and all the details and everything. I'm really good at that, and it is pretty fucking scary. I have a very do unto others approach. Like, I don't ever look up anyone that I interact with on GWA. I don't ever look up anyone that I work with. As like I said, as a courtesy and do unto others. I don't want them looking into me. I don't want, Reddit people looking into me, so I don't look into them and we'll, call it even. But yeah, I've gotten to the point where, like, sometimes we'll have people that we're investigating, and if they had just left well enough alone, we would not be investigating them. But they're trying to pull one over, and when it doesn't work, they bitch, thinking, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and they'll just get what they want if they bitch enough. Like Karen type people. "I want to speak to your supervisor." "Oh, you want me to look at you? I'll look at you." And so I've got a very, that's a reference from The Prophecy. So please tell me someone got the "you want me to look at you" reference, because nobody I fucking work with gets it. But yeah, so I did the "oh, you want me to look at you? I'll look at you." And my supervisor calls it the Eye of Sauron. When she turns me loose on people, she's like, "Hey, we've got this person that was quacking, and I wanna turn the Eye of Sauron upon them. So here's their details. Here's what we've got. Dig." And I do, and it's very, very bad for them. So less as a lesson to anyone, just a life lessons, lessons in life for you to take along with you. If you're trying to be slick and it's not working, do not push it. Do not push harder trying to make it work because you will draw the eye. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Okay, number three, tell us something about yourself that you think would surprise us. So you guys have, heard me in my sexy voice audios or whatever, and my fucking doofus questionnaires and singing and things like that, and I'm sure I seem like a very extroverted person, but I am not. I am not at all. Like, something, I don't know if it was necessarily a surprise or if he just didn't believe me or what. Recently, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I'm like, yeah, I don't get hit on. Like, when I'm just out and about, people don't hit on me. And I guess because I'm not expecting it. So either people don't hit on me at all, or I'm so fucking oblivious that I don't notice. So, one or the other is probably something surprising about me that you wouldn't expect, especially given my GWA persona. Yeah, I'm very introverted and do not attract sexual attention when I'm out. Like, people don't hit on me, or I'm too fucking oblivious to notice that they're hitting on me. So, either way, your girl goes home alone a lot. Anyway, four, what's something you love to do even though you're bad at it? I like to paint. Like, the paint night, I fucking love that shit. I am not good at it. It's not like comically bad, but I'm not like real, real good at it. But I love it. I love to do the paint night thing. I used, I watched Bob Ross a lot as a kid, and I love to paint. Like I said, I'm not good at it, but I love it. Five, what's your favorite insult? Okay, so as as a female type person, I love suck my dick. Like, it's not as clever when guys say it. I'm not, whatever. But like, when chicks say suck my dick, I fucking love that shit. And I do it a lot. Like, I say suck my dick a lot for someone who doesn't have one physically attached. But so yeah, suck my dick. And another one that I like, but it does not work the same on GWA, is I have used kiss my ass with your tongue out. Like, that's been one of my favorites. It's, oh, well, you can fucking kiss my ass with your tongue out. But it is not an insult in the GWA context. Like, it's an invitation for a fun time. And I'm like, no, that's not what I meant. Not what I meant. But yeah, kiss my ass with your tongue out and suck my dick, as a female type person, saying suck my dick amuses me. Number six, what's your favorite thing to do when you want to let your mind wander a bit but not too far? I actually knit. I'm not real, real good at it, but like, it's something to do with my hands, because I'm real bad about, I have to have something to do with my hands, especially if I'm like, I'm not even anxious. It's just if I'm thinking or wanting to let my mind wander, I have to have something to do with my hands, or I will pick my fingernails off. And it's not an anxiety thing, but it's just I have to have something to do with my hands. So I knit. And you have to pay a little bit of attention. It's real low bandwidth. Like, you have to pay a little bit of attention so you don't like drop stitches, and you don't, you have to know what kind of stitch you're doing. So whatever you're working on doesn't look like a fucking hot Molly Weasley mess. But yeah, so I knit when I wanna let my mind wander a little bit, but still kind of pay a little bit of attention so that it's not just completely daydreaming free for all. Number seven, what's a silly superstition that you find yourself following or putting stock in? Y'all, there are so many. I'm not really superstitious. Like, I don't like hardcore believe a lot of the things, but I'm like, just it's like just this side of a compulsion. Like, I don't really believe it. I don't think anything bad's gonna happen if I don't do it. But like, I'm a creature of habit, and I find comfort in like rituals and things. And so there's, certain superstitions that I find myself doing, and like, I recognize me an intellectual. I recognize that it's fucking dumb, but it comforts me to do the thing. So like, the one that I haven't been doing because we've been working from home, but before that, I live a fair distance from my physical job location. So on my way to work every morning, if I see crows or even ravens, because I can't always tell the difference, I have to count them and interpret whatever grouping according to the according to what they stand for, like what the groupings of that number. Like, okay, so I'm fucking weird. I guess I probably should have prefaced with that. But it's one for sorrow, two for joy, three for girls, and four for boys, five for silver, six for gold, seven for a secret never to be told. And so I count them when I see them and interpret, like, okay, there's two. All right, joy, it's gonna be a good day. Like, and I know that the day is not based on, like, that shit doesn't actually impact how my day is gonna be, but I can't not do it. I can't not do it and like be on the lookout for things that would correlate back to that throughout the day, because I'm fucking weird. But that's the main one I do. I count crows and interpret their groupings accordingly to a fucking nursery rhyme. Anyway, number eight, be honest. How many memes are saved in your phone? Probably about 1,400. Probably about four. It started out at about 300, and then I have a sickness. There's a fuck ton of them. Like, I save memes and use those to react to things instead of in a healthy grown-up fashion. There's a bunch of them. It's bad. It's real bad. Number nine, what do you do when you get angry? Do you get quiet or do you yell? Do you want to fight or do you want to get away from people? I get quiet and I want to get away from people. Like, I will fucking look through you. Like, I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. I don't yell and scream and holler. I don't do that shit. I get quiet and I want to get away from people because while I'm being quiet, I am formulating the most just nasty, horrible, hateful thing that I could possibly say to, like, the nuclear option. Like, I'm formulating the nuclear option in my mind. So I'm not saying anything, but I'm thinking of just the thing that I could say that would just destroy you. And I can't stop myself from doing, like, I can't stop myself from doing it. And that's why I want to get away from people, because I never say it. I never say it. I have never used my nuclear option that I'm thinking of, because I get away from people because I know that you can't unsay it. And so I get away from people, whoever it is I'm mad at, I get away from them, and I don't say anything, because if I say anything, it's going to be just the atom bomb and there's no coming back from it. So when I'm mad, I shut the fuck up and don't want to be around you because I'm going to say something awful that we cannot, we can't get past. So I just shut the fuck up. I can't stand people that want to scream and fight. Like, I have friends that, like, in their relationships or whatever, they like to fight. And I'm like, why, God? Ugh. I'm not, like, super confrontational. I don't want to fight. I don't want to scream. Ugh, who wants to scream? But yeah. But then some of my friends that are like that, they yell and scream and fight, and then they just move on. I'm like, you just called your wife a cunt-faced whore, and now y'all are like cool? Like, that's fine. I can't, what? So yeah, but that's not me at all. Number 10, what's one thing you cannot stand to have someone do to you? This can be physical, verbal, emotional, whatever. I hate, and it's not, I want to say being ghosted, but it's not being ghosted, but like radio silence for no apparent reason gets all the way under my skin because I'm an overthinker. I overthink shit. And so if I've been like talking to someone, having a conversation with someone, and then just don't hear from them, either I don't hear from them at all, or like they don't respond to me when I try to make contact with them, and just radio silence, I am thinking of like, I'm overthinking. So I'm thinking of like worst case scenario. Like all the horrific things that could have led to this person not, not responding to me or not communicating with me. So like, and that's, I hate that. I hate that because it gets me in my head and for no reason, because if you don't want to fucking talk to me anymore, just say that. And I'm totally fine. I am totally fine with that. But just say, this is the end of this conversation. Okay, but just no response at all or no reason, and just radio silence for no apparent reason gets all the way under my skin. I hate that shit. Number 11, what's the first non-physical thing people notice about you? I cuss a lot. Like a lot, a lot. A lot of the people that I work with, I don't actually meet in person. We talk on the phone. And I cuss a lot. And so that's the first non-physical thing people notice about me. Like, there's people that I have never met in person, and if you ask them about me, the first thing is, oh yeah, she cusses a lot. Like, they warn each other, do not call Sella on speakerphone ever. Because you will regret it. So yeah, that's the first non-physical thing people notice about you. Number 12, what's your favorite scent to wear? What about on someone you're attracted to? I've got a lot of different perfumes and stuff, or essential oils, or whatever, body sprays and shit like that that I like. Like, I like a lot of different scents. I love patchouli, and I know that patchouli is a very love it or hate it. Like, there's no one that's ambivalent about patchouli. Either you love it or you fucking hate it. And I love it. Like, in it, but it's gotta be, I know that like young patchouli, like non-aged patchouli, smells kind of floral, but I like that old, like the aged patchouli that smells kind of like cedar. Like, I love that woodsy sort of, the hippie. Old hippie smell, patchouli is my favorite. So yeah, that's something about me that you probably didn't know. But I also like, there's a blackberry and sage. The blackberry and sage combination smells so good to me, and so I like to wear that too. On someone I'm attracted to, I like the smell of like coconut shampoo. No, that's like really specific. But I had, like in high school, I had a boyfriend who used coconut shampoo and it smelled so good. He always smelled so good because he smelled like coconut. I don't like the taste of coconut, but the smell of coconut I love. But then there was also, I like the smell of leather. And not like things that are scented like leather, but like an actual legit like leather jacket. I love that smell. And I know this is probably gonna seem so stupid, but in again, high school, different boyfriend this time, wore that, what is it called? Gravity? It's in the blue bottle. The cologne that's in like the deep blue, like cobalt blue bottle. I'm pretty sure it's called Gravity. And I had borrowed his jacket, and I guess he had spilled some of the cologne like on the collar of the jacket. Or, I don't fucking know, maybe he just like sprayed it down real heavy with it because he knew he was gonna loan me the jacket. But anyway, the lapel of the jacket smelled like that, and oh, it smelled so good. It smelled so good. I love the smell of that cologne. So yeah, fucking nerd. Anyway, so those are my favorite scents. 13. What's something you've learned about yourself through your GWA experience? I am not into as much shit as I thought I was. I thought I was a lot kinkier than I actually am. I actually went through and, like, a lot of people have their kink list thing done, and so I went through to do mine just because I'm like, okay, sure, I can, that seems fun, let me do that. And I went through and I did it, and I'm like, oh, I am nowhere near as kinky as I thought. Looking at all the things that I'm like, no, maybe, no. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not into nearly as much shit as I thought I was. Which is, I mean, I guess it's a good thing to know about yourself, but I was also kind of disappointed in myself. But, you like what you like, so there's nothing for it. But yeah, that's definitely something that I've learned. I have a much narrower field of preference than I thought. 14. Do you have an item that you absolutely must buy every time you see it, even if you already have it at home? If yes, what is it and what makes it a must buy? I do. I've got every time I see a copy of Pandora by Anne Rice, the book, especially only if it's in hardcover. If I see a hardcover copy of Pandora by Anne Rice, I have to buy it anytime I see it. I mean, obviously not like new at the bookstore because then I would have no money ever, but like if I see a used copy somewhere, if I go to the used bookstore or the used book sales or whatever, or if I'm at a, thrift shop, or our we have a Friends of the Library used book sale that like books that are the library is taking out of circulation, they sell them to like help fund the library, and so I go to that a lot, and every time I come across a hardcover copy of Pandora, I have to buy it. Thankfully they're usually pretty cheap because I've got like five copies of the motherfucker at this point. And it's a must. This seems so stupid now that I'm talking about it, but it's a must buy for me because there was this guy that I was like sort of seeing, like we were in the very early stages of dating, and he had loaned me his copy of Pandora because we were talking about the books that we like to read, and I had mentioned that I had read several of Anne Rice's Vampire Chronicles, but not all of them. And he had Pandora, and so he loaned it to me for me to read that one. And as I, and like once I finished it, I went to give it back to him, and I was telling him how much I enjoyed it and I really liked it, and we were discussing it. And he said, just keep it. And like, I know that seems kind of offhand and stupid, but it was like, that was so thoughtful. Like, it, you know, this is something that he had that was his, that he enjoyed, and he like purchased it and read it and kept it because he enjoyed it. And then he loaned it to me to let me read it, and I enjoyed it too. And so he gave it to me to keep, and that was just so sweet. Like, that was so romantic to me. And I know it seems dumb, but it was just so romantic to me. That was like the best gift I've ever gotten from, you know, someone that I was in a relationship with, or, you know, whatever it was. He gave me a copy of this book that we both enjoyed. And so I still have it. I still have that original one that he gave me. And every time I see this fucking book, I have to buy it. Because it reminds me of that feeling, and it's a good feeling. And so I buy it every time I see it. I've got like 5 copies of it. So, yeah. 15. Tell us about the best cup of tea you've ever had. If you don't drink tea, tell us about the best dessert you've ever eaten. I'll do you one better and tell you about both. So there's a little tea room that me and Chelsea and our mom go to every year. We have like an annual trip, and we go to this tea room, and they have a, I don't even remember the name of it because it's been discontinued now, but they had a this, they've got like a shit ton of teas, and they've got like black teas and green teas and white teas and herbal teas. Herbal teas are my favorite. Because like I'm from the South, and when you say tea to most people, they're thinking sweet tea, like iced. But this tea room serves like pots of hot tea. And so there's this herbal tea that they had that had, I know for certain that it had rose hips and cherries, but I don't remember what all else was in it. But it was like bright, it's like this beautiful deep red color, and it's very sweet. Which, I mean, I put a ton of sugar in it anyway. I put like 3 cubes of sugar in a cup of tea. But it had a sweet taste anyway because of the cherries and the rose hips, and it was so good. And I actually bought like 3 like bags of it when they were discontinuing it. I bought 3 like big bags of it to take home. And I still have some of it. I've been rationing it because it's discontinued and I can't get it anymore. But oh, it's so good. It's so good. I love just about anything cherry flavored, but this was like actual cherries and actual rose hips, and it was so good. And that same tea room actually has the best dessert I've ever had. Because they also serve ambrosia trifle, which they make with pound cake, and you can either get sherry or rum. I usually get sherry. Chelsea and mom get rum, but it's like pound cake with sherry or rum, and then like strawberries and custard, and they make fresh Devonshire cream. Oh, and it's so good. It's so good. We always like gorge ourselves. We order like one of everything off the menu, and then we each get, you know, a pot of tea, and we each get a trifle at the end, and it's so good. So yeah, they have the best tea and the best dessert I've ever had, and so we make an annual trek to go and gorge ourselves at the tea room. Number 16. Tell us about the last good dream you had. The last one that I can remember, like, okay, so a lot of my dreams involve there, it's not really flying, but sort of a floating in style. Like, it's, I don't know, it's like a lot of my, just random, a lot of my dreams are like gravity doesn't work quite the same. Just for me, I'm the only one. Gravity doesn't work quite the same. And so, like, if I, you know, go to run or jump or something, I'd sort of float or glide, and it's not, I'm not afraid of falling and busting myself because I'm more buoyant than you. You know, like, I don't know, it's fucking weird. So, but that's one of sort of the recurring good dreams that I have. But a lot of, like, I don't have very many, like, sex dreams, like most people would, I guess. Like, mine that are sort of like that are usually mostly just kissing. The most recent one I had, it was a good dream because it was mostly just making out, and I love that. Like, I love kissing. I love making out. And so yeah, the last good dream I had, I was dreaming about making out with somebody. And it was good. It was nice. So yeah. What was the last good dream that I had? 17. What's something you love to have done to or for you, but you hate to ask for it? This is so stupid, and I always feel stupid for wanting it because it's such like a stereotypical girl thing, and I try desperately not to be like that. But I would really like to have someone send me flowers. Like, I haven't had someone buy flowers for me since I moved out of my mom's house. Like, my stepdad would always buy roses for my mom and me and Chelsea for Valentine's Day. Like, he would always buy the roses and like candy and all that good stuff for my mom. And then, like, once Chelsea and I got a little older, he would buy them for us too. And so once I moved out of my parents' house, I have not had anyone buy flowers for me, or like, even like, you know, send them to where I, you know, send them to me or send them to where I work. It doesn't even have to be like buy them and give them to me, just like, and the building that, well, again, we're working from home now, but the building that I worked in, there was like 3,000 people in that building. And so, like, as I'm walking, you know, across the floor from my cube to the break room or whatever, and I'd walk by desks where people would have like these floral arrangements. People have sent flowers to them at work, and I'm just, and I would just really like to have someone send me flowers. But you can't ask for it, you know? Like, if you ask for it, then they're sending them to you because you've asked for it and not because they just want to. And that's part of, you want them to, I want someone to want to send me flowers. And that's so fucking dumb. And I know that it's dumb, and it's especially dumb because I don't think I give off that kind of vibe. Like, I don't. I'm sure I don't come across as the kind of person that would want to be sent flowers, and that's probably why, at least partially why, I haven't gotten them. But yeah, sometimes I just want somebody to send me flowers. It doesn't have to be roses. Just flowers of any kind makes a girl feel good. So yeah, that's something I would love to have done, but I hate to ask for it. I can't ask for it because then, you know, then it's contrived and it's not spontaneous, and I don't know. It's fucking stupid. I know it's stupid, but I can't help it. 18, and the last one. Sing a line or two from the last song that got stuck in your head. Earworms for everyone. Oh God. The oh, what was it? Oh shit. How does it go? It was stuck in my fucking head, and now I can't think of how the motherfucker goes. Oh, that's sometimes I wake up with my sheets soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head. Oh, that's so fucking stupid. That was bad. Wasn't ready for that one. I wrote the fucking thing. How was I not ready for it? But yeah, so I'm on fire, which it was the Tori Amos version and not the Springsteen version. But that one got stuck in my head recently. So yeah. Sorry, that was bad, but Anyway, thanks guys. Have a good one.